Glory to God. It's so good to see everybody. Gentlemen, if you could just bring me down a little bit up here. I hear a lot of me, and I don't want to hear this much of me. It's so good to see everybody in this brand new year. We just welcome those, again, that are visiting Family Church. Of course, we got to greet a lot of folks out there in our drive-in today. Praise the Lord. We have somewhere around 20 cars or more. And, of course, we appreciate people being responsible, doing the right thing. During these times, it's just good to be gathered in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's good to see all of you. We just are going to say this. We're not going to have a case of the 2020s in here. Amen. Because 2020 is over. Glory to God. And we're going to look forward to this brand new year. Well, praise the Lord. Well, turn with me in your Bibles this morning over to Philippians chapter 1. And I'm going to call this message, Hitting the Mark in 2021. Hitting the Mark in 2021. Now, it goes without saying, 2020 was a very interesting year, all right? And maybe that's a great understatement. But, you know, a year ago at this time, we were talking about entering the roaring 20s. Oh, we just didn't understand just what the roar was going to be, all right? And and it sure was roaring, all right. Well, praise the Lord. And so we were talking about that, and of course, it certainly started with a bang in 2020. But with all the things that happened in this past year that turned 2020 in one of the most notorious years in recent history, we still have a ton to be grateful for, all right? I'm not looking at 20. Now, of course, I understand from a worldwide standpoint, from an earthly standpoint, and believe me, I know that it was a tough year, you know, in those regards, and for some people, don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to be insensitive about that, but I refuse to look back in any, you know, way, shape, or form without seeing the goodness of God in our lives, because God was good. He's good all the time. Amen. And there's a lot to be grateful for, even in 2020. Praise the Lord. You know, in 2020, this church and also our Erie church, we ministered the gospel. We ministered the word of God to more people than any other year in our history. Both in person and both over the internet, we had the opportunity to preach to more individuals than we ever have before. All right? Praise the Lord. Of course, we added new families to the church. We never lacked one thing here at the church. We never had to turn staff away or give pay cuts or anything like that. All the bills were paid. Actually, we paid more debt over these last 2 years than we ever have in this church's history. Glory to God. You know, we are coming up on, in just 2 years, we've eliminated nearly $500,000 of debt here at the church. So God is good. Amen. We don't have to look back on 2020. We set attendance records. We added new families. Amen. And here's the thing. We had our weekly worship service every single week in 2020. Glory to God. We never closed the church. We never gave up on worship. Praise the Lord. And so there's a lot to be grateful for in 2020. But I tell you what, you know, in some ways, the coronavirus did the church in America some favors. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. You know, this pandemic did reveal some real weaknesses in the church that we may not have known before. Now, when I say the church, I don't mean just our churches. I mean the body of Christ in the United States. We really saw now physical evidence of why the entertainment, seeker-sensitive style church services are not good, all right? Because you know that when as soon as a trial came, you know, because the house of God had lost its sacredness to so many, as soon as a temptation came, they just up and closed the doors. Some are still playing that game. Well, I'll tell you what, if the house of God is sacred, the house of God does not close, does not give up the ministry for the sake of a trial. And so we saw some weaknesses. We also saw that a lot of our fringe doctrines don't do any good. And I'll tell you what, in 2021, we need to get back to the basics. We need to major on the majors. We need to focus on that which is abundantly clear in the Word of God. We need to get away from our selfishness. We need to get away from our self-preservation. And we need to serve God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, if we're not careful, and of course we're going to talk about this today, we'll find ourselves, you know, serving everything else beside the Lord. You know, we'll get caught up in the frenzy of everything that's been going on. In this past year, I really believe that coronavirus revealed the weaknesses of some fringe doctrines such as hyper-prosperity. Hyper-prosperity. Now, is there a truth, a biblical truth to prosperity? Yes. But when it is ministered and preached in such a way that Christians get greedy, and all they pray about, all they release their faith for is more finances, more stuff. You know, you saw what happened as soon as a major trial hit the land, you know, and Christians maybe went through a loss of some income or went through some, you know, trying financial times. Many gave up on serving God if it meant they weren't going to have the earning power or whatever. Now, of course, many stayed faithful as well, don't get me wrong. But I tell you what, as soon as you get a Christian convinced that their only thing they're pursuing in life is money and possessions, and they use their faith only for their stuff, you know, they are going to be run over by this life when a real trial comes on. We are here to further the gospel. Amen. You know, Christians these days, they don't want to face the fact that there might be some wilderness times. There might be some tough times. And we stay faithful through it, all right? We also saw the weakness of the hyper-prophetic movement. You know, ooh, boy, hear the sigh, ooh, you know? And all of a sudden, I firmly believe that the body of Christ displayed its over-dependence upon personal prophecies that are being delivered by big TV preachers, and they put all their hope and their preferences in that basket. And when those prophecies turned out to be false, many of their faith was hurt. They didn't know what to do. They started making excuses. They started backpedaling and reeling. You know why? Because they were standing on something else other than this. All right. The Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. That is the word of God. The Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part. Remember, any man of God, any woman of God's prophecies are nowhere near as valuable as this. You know, when I hear those prophecies, first of all, we should be spiritually mature enough to hear certain things being spoken and know if they're right and if they're not. You should know it. You should be able to judge by the Holy Ghost inside you whether someone is speaking truth or not. And when you start to see men and women of God throwing out these outlandish predictions, these outlandish prophecies and stuff, you listen on the inside. You know, don't be one of these, you know, people that just hang on these big name ministers' prophecies, because so many times it isn't right. Because what is happening is that the body of Christ is getting more addicted to that TV-style ministry, that big outlandish prophecy ministry, when they should be meditating and focusing on the messages that come from their local church, from their local pastor, because those messages are divinely tailor-made for the people. Now, of course, does that mean we despise prophecy? No. But we got to make sure we put it in the right place. Because a lot of Christians, they're listening to all the prophecy, but they're not doing any of the studying. All right? You know, they're seeing who has what word. What's the word for 2021? I'll tell you what the word is for 2021. Chapter and verse. Chapter and verse. Meditate on the word. Get filled with the word and don't just lean upon who's branding this year a certain thing. We're charging into this new year just going to serve God with all of our heart. And I don't need to know who's branding it the year of what. Woo! Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The good news is that God's got a plan for our future. He is good. He is bigger than any name of a virus or anything else. So praise the Lord. All right. Let's start meditating on what we get here. I see so many Christians, not just in this church, but, you know, all over, They will go and surf around YouTube. They surf around the internet. They're looking for whatever TV preacher. What did they say? What did they say? What did they say? The thing, the fact of the matter is that God did not tailor make those messages for you. The messages in your local church are tailor made for you. Oh boy, praise the Lord. Anyway, so in this message this morning, we're going to talk about things that we can change in 2021. Things that we can do differently, things that we've learned, amen. Have you found Philippians 1? And we're gonna start in verse 12. Things that we need to change in 2021. Number one, our perspective of tough times needs to change. The body of Christ, it was revealed in 2020 that we are selfish. Oh boy, that went over well. You know, as soon as this trial hit the land, most believers, I'm not saying all of you, I'm just saying in general, most believers started thinking about how it affects their job, how it affects their business, how does it affect their lives. And of course, many gave into the stress, the worry, the fear of the virus, and so on. And what happens is that these trials have a way of making us just think about how it affects us. But we've got to remember, we know this, God did not invent, he did not author the coronavirus, all right? But we know the word says that he takes what the devil meant for evil and he can turn it into good. And we need to have vision to see what God is doing on a bigger scale than just how the pandemic affects our personal life. I want to give you some perspective of tough times that is so rarely preached in the body of Christ today. Because let's face it, if you get on that TV or the unintentional results of some of the Word of Faith preaching has given believers this idea that they'll never go through a tough time. And it should always feel good, it should always look good, and if it's ever tough, well then their faith must not have worked and it must be their fault. Oh, come on. We need to understand we are overcomers. And if we're overcomers, that means we're going to have to overcome some things. You know, and you hear me say this all the time, we are overcomers, not just avoiders. If the body of Christ would have spent more time pursuing God instead of avoiding the coronavirus, we'd have the New Jerusalem would descend out of heaven by now. Listen, of course, we're not talking about taking common sense precautions. You know, be wise about things, be smart about things. But I'll tell you what, if we would have been more consumed with the name of the Lord as we were the name of a virus, I'll tell you what, we'd be spiritual giants in the land. Our perspective of tough times need to change. Let's go to Philippians 1, and I'm going to start in verse 12. I'm going to read it in the King James, and then I'm going to go over to the Amplified Bible and read it in English. Praise the Lord. Paul the Apostle, folks, when you read the Bible, you've got to study it. You've got to know the perspective in which it was written. Paul is writing the book of Philippians as he's in prison in Rome, as he is chained in the sewer. Do you know that? When he was in prison in Rome, they put him down in the sewer locker. All right? You understand, he is writing this in that from that perspective. This is the lowest point of his life. He is chained. He has been imprisoned. At times, he's been beaten. He's been mocked. He's been scorned. Look at how this man looks at the toughest times of his life. He says, "But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." See, most Christians would not say that. They would not think that way. He's saying, everything in my life does not look good, does not feel good right now. But I know this, that because of it, the gospel will be furthered. That is Paul's heart. That is his attitude. That is his priority. The furtherance of the gospel, not the furtherance of our prosperity financially, not the furtherance of our own personal circumstances. See, things happen at times that we don't like and that don't feel good, but they can carry the gospel further than it ever has before. And you know what? It is the goodness of God. More souls have been saved in 2020 because of that virus than were ever saved without it, that were ever lost. You understand? Now, of course, God didn't orchestrate that. But of course, when the world saw that coming, there was many people that turned their attention to the eyes of, you know, the eyes of the Lord. We had, you know, times in our drive-in service when this pandemic started up. I mean, within a day or two, a couple thousand people were watching, you know, the messages that were being preached out of this church because it got the attention of folks and they started thinking about God again. Praise the Lord. Of course, no, God didn't author that, but I tell you what, the gospel was furthered even when it didn't look good, even when it didn't feel good, and we should be grateful for that. He says in verse 13, he says, so that my bonds, that means literally his chains, so that my chains in Christ are manifest in all the palace. See, he was down in the prison, in literally the sewer of that prison. And up above and not far away was the palace of Rome, where Caesar lived, where the Imperial Guard, the real Imperial Guard, not the Star Wars Imperial Guard, all right, the real emperor, you know, in history, where those movie makers really get their ideas from, they get it from things that actually did happen. And, you know, all the royal guard was there, all the leaders, all the senators of Rome, everybody was well aware of this man that was chained in the sewer who loved Jesus Christ, who declared his salvation, all right, and who's just sitting there saying, I'm okay because the gospel is being furthered right now. He says, so that my chains in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all the other places. Verse 14, he says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He said, now other believers are seeing my boldness and seeing my attitude as I'm in jail, and now they're getting more bold. All right? Your reactions to trials and crisis, if you will react in God's way, it'll actually strengthen people around you. It's not about you. It's not about me personally. It's about the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. Go back to verse 12 and let's bring it up in the Amplified version if we can. See, this is the perspective we need. Well, I tell you what, this is going over good. I'll tell you what. You need to, you know, bring your faith to a new level in this year. Bring your enthusiasm to God, you know, to a higher level for the new year. Don't just sit like a bump in the log and in church. Paul says this, now I want you to know and continue to rest assured, brethren, that what has happened to me, this imprisonment, has actually only served to advance and give a renewed impetus to the spreading of the good news, the gospel. He said, this thing has been a motivator just to make the gospel more well known. Folks, that's what you need to look for when you're going through a hard time. That's what we look for. But what do we typically look for in a trial? We're looking for the way out. Get me out of this, God. I need more money, God. I need a better job, God. I need these symptoms to go away, God. Get me out of this, God. Paul was saying, Paul, notice in one place he does not say, you know, get me out of here. You understand that? He's saying, Lord, I know you didn't author this, but I know that the gospel will be furthered if I react correctly. If I have the right perspective and understand that there's more souls at stake than just my own. Amen. He said, now go to verse 13 in the Amplified. Praise the Lord. So much is this a fact that throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest here, my imprisonment has become generally known to be in Christ, that I am a prisoner in his service and for him. All those guards, all those senators, Caesar himself is saying, what's that guy here for? Because he's proclaiming the resurrection of the dead. He's proclaiming that this Jesus of Nazareth came to life, and now that Jesus who stirred up the whole world, you know, this man is sticking by. He's not complaining. He's not bitter. He's excited, even though he is sitting next to an open sewer chained to the wall. He is rejoicing that the message of the gospel is going further. That is the perspective on tough times that the modern day church has lost, that even the modern day Pentecostal church has lost, that churches have gotten to this idea that we just think everything's going to be, you know, easy and fun. And boy, if it isn't, well, then you better rebuke the devil if things don't feel good. I don't mean physically or medically speaking. I'm talking about, you know, if you just go through a rough time, or we've been taught to blame ourselves, or we've been taught to think, well, my faith must not be working because I'm going through a hard time. Well, listen, if you're using your faith, whether you see it or not, you got to believe that it's working. Amen. Because it is working. Praise the Lord. See, we're too often, we're so selfish. We want to feel it working. We want to see the results immediately. See, the modern day Christian does not want to have to walk through the wilderness. They don't want to have to face a tough time. They want the pastor to just say abracadabra and make it all go away. And too often, the only times when Christians get into the Word is when a tough time shows up. You know, I tell you what, faith is a shield, it's not a Band-Aid. You know, a bandage is something you get out after you've been hit. A shield is what you put in front of you before you get hit. All right, get your shield up. Praise the Lord, right? It says taking the shield of faith. What is that? Ephesians 6, right around the 13th verse, going down even further than that. He says, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our perspective of tough times. Too often we take trials and hard times too personally. We think it's about us. But notice that statement that Paul said in verse 13, for the furtherance of the gospel. What is going on in your life to further the gospel? And when you walk through a tough time, did you use it as an opportunity to further the gospel? The church of Jesus Christ in this world has an awesome opportunity to show the world right now what a fearless believer looks like, what a faithful believer looks like, what light and knowledge looks like, what praise and worship sounds like. Amen. Oh, but you know what has happened? You know, the name of COVID has loomed so large over the land that Christians have forgotten that the name of Jesus Christ is looming far larger. COVID is going away. Jesus is coming back. Glory to God. And I won't have to give an account to some germ from China. I'm gonna have to give an account to the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. I'm gonna have to tell him how I was faithful, even when things in the land seemed dark. I'm gonna have to tell him that I wanted the furtherance of the gospel regardless of what it meant for me. Think of if you put the modern day Christian back in the land of Egypt in the days of Joseph. And when Joseph said, you know, he saw by the vision of the Lord, he said, there's going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. 7 years of it. 7 years of it. I'm going to tell you what, we're not going to have 7 years of this, you know. And most modern day Christians would say, Joseph, that's anti-faith. That's a bad confession. God wasn't going to withhold the trial upon the land. He's saying, you got to get prepared for the trial upon the land, and you've got to be faithful during the hard times. See, Christians today, they only want the 7 years of plenty. They don't want to think that there would ever be a test or a tough time. But I tell you what, the good times is not where your faith is tested or proven. It's in the tough times that we find out what you're made of and what I'm made of. Our perspective on tough times have got to change in 2021. Now, that doesn't mean we want bad things. You understand what I'm saying? We're not saying we don't become like those other believers that are out there that glory in their trouble. You know, they love to just brag about the hardships in their life. That's not what we're talking about. But we need to know how to look at them with a perspective like Paul and say, you know what? God's going to make this good. God is my deliverer, and the gospel will be furthered. And we can't take everything so personally. Woe is me. This is so hard. Oh, my money. Oh, my job. Oh, my this. And there's people that are going to say, Pastor, you're being so insensitive. No, I'm not being insensitive. Believe me, I walk with people all the time that are going through tough times, and I'm there for them, and I love them with all my heart, okay? But if we just sit there wanting sympathy, sympathy ain't going to take you to another level of glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're going to have to say, Lord, I thank you. I'm going to show my friends, I'm going to show my family how fearless that one can be in the face of these things. Too often, though, you can see the trial on the Christian's face. You can tell that, you know, they're walking around moping. Saying, we're not supposed to be that way, by the way. See, Paul was seeing the big picture of how God was using the tough times for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul wasn't looking at himself personally. He wasn't looking at his money or his circumstances. Paul was looking for divine purpose in everything. We need to have this mindset. Praise the Lord. Are you getting anything out of this here today? All right. Here's the second thing that we need to change in 2021. We have to start serving God and stop serving this virus. We've got to start serving God and stop serving this virus. And when I say that, I'm not saying that you shouldn't wash your hands or wear a mask if you go in the store or, you know, if you feel like you need to sit in the drive-in. I'm not talking about the simple precautions. Listen, I wash my hands, you know, many times a day, not so much because of COVID, but because I was a school teacher. And when you're a school teacher, you become a PhD in germs. You learn all about them, all right? And so I just gained that habit when I was a school teacher. I was just always washing my hands. It's just it's a practical good thing to do, all right? There's plenty of practical things. But I tell you what, if we take things too far, we get consumed with the name of COVID, we are going to forget the name of our Lord and our Savior. Like I said, in so many minds of believers right now, the name of COVID is looming so large. It has almost single-handedly replaced the name of Jesus Christ in their mind. Listen, Christ's name, the name of the Lord, looms far larger than this virus. In terms of reverence, in terms of godly fear, you know, I don't dread the virus. I dread being unfaithful. Does anyone ever, you know what I'm talking about? We'll talk about that here. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. We've got to move into the future, stop serving this virus, and start serving God. Say, Pastor, we have. Yeah, I know. I know that, you know, there's some really good things that took place this year in this church, and there was so many that were faithful, and believe me, that's all you today, you know. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, there's some things that we can still change. Amen. Go to Philippians 3. Now, we're going to start in verse 13. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to read it in the King James to start. Now, this is really interesting what Paul says. Now, again, from prison, chained to the wall, in the sewer. That is literally the truth. You know, they know right where Paul, today, they know exactly where he was imprisoned. And I watched a show where they were describing his surroundings and they were showing, you know, the archaeological dig and the things that they discovered. They said, this right here, right in his cell, was the open sewer for that section of Rome. They stuck him in the dirtiest, most awful place. They did it on purpose. They brought him to a place where what they thought was hell. You know, what they thought was hell. And, of course, Paul, being so filled with the knowledge of God, he said, this is just making all of them up there think more of the Lord. They're seeing me down here. They're watching my reactions. They know God is real because they're seeing God alive in me. They know Christ is risen from the dead because I'm not complaining in my chains. I'll tell you what, I say, Pastor, do you think you're really that level of a man? No way. Not yet. I sure would love to believe with all sobriety that I could handle a situation like Paul the Apostle did. I would never claim to be so foolish, you know, to say that out loud, all right? But I want to be. Don't you? Amen. But I tell you what, none of us have faced what he has faced, so we could adopt his attitude easier than even he did. You understand what I'm saying? We didn't go through the difficulty like he did, so it should be more receptive, easier to have that kind of attitude. Look at Philippians 3:13. Now, this is very interesting because, again, chained in the sewer, Paul is actually talking about the resurrection. He starts talking about attaining the knowledge and the fullness of the resurrection of Christ. Of course, he knew that he had it. We all have the resurrection of Christ. If you've made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you, in the eyes of God, are resurrected as much as Jesus himself was resurrected. And we believe that, and we know it in our minds, and we know it in our hearts. But Paul says that he hasn't even fully grasped the significance of being risen with Christ. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or grasped the fullness of the resurrection. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are ahead. A man chained in the dark, dank sewer. He said, I am here in Rome, in prison, and I'm pressing forward. Oh, goodness. All right, verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, let us therefore, as many be perfect, that means mature, let us be thus minded. What minded? Pressing forward, pressing toward the mark, right? The calling, the prize and the calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, as many of us be mature, let us be that minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal this unto you. If you're somebody who keeps looking into the past, if you're somebody that does not press forward, God's going to show you. Now, go back up to verse 13. Praise the Lord. All right. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching to those things that are ahead, verse 14, he says, pressing toward the mark. Everyone say the mark. What is the mark? It tells us that God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have a mark for us to shoot at or to pursue. There must be a mark that God says, that's what I want you to pursue. That's what I want you to aim at. So what is the mark? Well, before we tell you what the mark is, let's tell you what the mark isn't. Notice, by these scriptures, the mark cannot be in the past. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Listen, he is saying the mark that God wants you to aim at cannot be in the past. Oh, boy. 2020 is in the past. All right? Your past is in the past. If we are going to be blessed in 2021, we cannot be obsessed with the problems of 2020. We got to start pursuing God more than we're trying to avoid a virus. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, now how many of you, do not raise your hands at this. Do not. Warning. Woo-hoo. All right. Is there any of us that could say that we've hit the mark with God every day, all day? Never have missed the mark with God. I see many of you shaking your head. Let me just shake my head with you. No way has any Christian ever hit the mark every day, all their life for God. All right. No one ever will. All right. But notice, God is not going to judge you for not hitting the mark all the time. He's not judging the actual impact on the target as much as he's judging the press. All right? God will not, the Spirit of God will not correct you because you missed the mark once in a while. Okay? A lot of times he won't even let you know because it's so minor. Time and growth will take care of that. The problem isn't that we miss the mark once in a while. The problem is that we're not pressing. And God said he will reveal this to you. He will reveal this to you. What will he reveal? He will reveal if you're not thus minded. He's not telling you where you miss it all the time. Do you think God tells you in every little thing that you miss? He doesn't have, he's eternal and he still doesn't have that much time. He doesn't have time to tell every believer where they miss it every day. Or every wrong thought, or every little wrong action, or every little thing. God's not telling you every little time you missed the mark. The Bible says he's telling you when you failed to press. He didn't tell you, oh, you were a little off on the bullseye here. Oh, you're a little off there. You're a little off there. You're a little off there. He's not gonna so much focus his efforts on that as much as it says he's gonna reveal to you when you're not pressing. Any time in my Christian life, when I'm not pressing into God, I know it more than anybody. Is there anybody here that could agree with that statement for yourself? When you know that you're not pressing into God like you should, you will be very aware of it. That's God being faithful to his word. He says, if you're not thus minded to press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, he's gonna let you know about it. And it's not in the form of a New Year's resolution. It's in the form of judging ourselves, being faithful, picking up the pace, lifting up those knees. You know, the Bible says lifting up those knees that get lazy. You know, the picture is, you know, like an athlete runs those exercises, the high knees, takes extra effort. Oh, praise the Lord. And folks, I'm just going to level with you. I know many of you have seen this in your life. I know the times that I'm pressing in. You know, I know the times when I feel like I'm hanging the moon spiritually, and I know the times when I know that I'm not. And you've been through that. Every man of God, woman of God that I've ever known goes through that. The problem is it's not that you've missed the mark so much, is that we fail to press in. And if you found yourself in an extended period of time where you are not pressing, if you didn't press in 2020, well, now we know to press in 2021. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. It is time to press. We've got to stop serving this virus, and we've got to start serving God. How do you know? You know what the mark isn't? It's not in your past. So know this. If you're looking into your past for any kind of answers, you're not only missing the mark, you're not even shooting at the mark. You're pointed in the wrong direction. There is no answers for you in your past. I don't care what someone said to you yesterday. I don't care what someone did to you years ago. Your answers aren't there. All that can do is drum up weakness. I see so many Christians that are snagged on some awful thing that happened in their past. Listen, and believe me, I'm not trying to be insensitive. I just know this. Your past is not as dangerous as you missing your God-giving future. Your past is not your greatest danger. We've all been out of place in our past. Was there ever a time in your life that you were out of place in the plan of God? Anybody? Anybody? How many years was I out of place, out of the will of God in my life? All right? See, I can't go back and change that now. That's why I need the mercy of God. That's why we need the redemption of God, that our past is washed away. He said, I will remember your past no more. He says, I don't look at your past. But if you go back to your past, oh boy, here we go. Huh? Oh, I've heard so many people say this. This is what's been one of the biggest trials on believers during coronavirus, is that this test is trying to convince Christians, trying to talk them out, get them to forget of who they are in Christ. They are forgetting who they are in Christ. They've stopped pressing forward and they've started to go back in the past. You know, I feel sad because of what happened in the past. you know, some, you know, psychology book or some psychologist, they told me the reason why, because I was damaged in the past. Well, since then, you've been born again. You're risen in Christ. Say, oh, he's so insensitive. I'm just preaching the word. When you dig into your past for answers, all you're going to find is more questions, more trouble, more hurt, more depression. There's nothing for you in that direction. Nothing for you at all. You know, I don't have to go back and try to figure out why I'm the way I am. Only God knows that, and he's got to put up with it, right? And so, I mean, so many times, well, I'm this because of this, and that happened to me, this and that. You're digging. You're not even shooting at the mark. You better. Paul said, listen, I haven't even grasped the fullness of the resurrection. He said, but as I'm sitting here chained to the wall in a sewer, I've decided to press towards the future. Because I can't change the past. This is written by a man that used to kill Christians. Think of the guilt. Think of the rotten things. He sat there and murdered some of the greatest people of God. But then he turned to Christ. He said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. He said, I'm pressing forward. But a lot of people, they want to play rockabye baby with their victimhood. They want to play rockabye baby with, you know, everything. They want to look back into this past year even about things that they lost, trials that they went through, and they want to still live in it. Get out of it. I don't care if it's one day in the past, your answers aren't there. Praise the Lord. And like I said, 2020 and before that, there was, you know, the danger in your life is not in the past. What's more dangerous is not being in the right place in your God-given future. Praise the Lord. Say, well, what do you mean we got to stop serving the virus and start serving God? Well, what we're talking about here is anything that would take away the service of God in your life. If you're consumed and obsessed with the news and the numbers and how many people have died or how many are hospitalized, what's going on in our area, all this stuff, you get more consumed with that. If you are spending more time reading about COVID than you are reading about God, that will explain a lot. Imagine, I meet people that have gotten so distracted with this thing, they can tell you all the numbers everywhere. Or they got so distracted with the election, they can tell you exactly how many votes were outstanding in the state of Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. You know, say, well, Pastor, that's important and all this. I'm not saying it's not important. But I'm just making the point, if we pursued God, you know, it's amazing. These Christians can quote you the COVID numbers, but they can't, they say, but I just can't remember chapter and verse like you remember it. I know all the votes that were tallied in Georgia and the fact that Trump lost by 12,241 votes, but then they say, I can't remember Philippians 3:13. I'm telling you. You know, if the modern day Christian would get is, again, they'd pursue God greater than they would avoid the virus. Oh, my goodness. Listen, folks, it's good for a church to give people options during this time. Because we know that there's a lot of people who are weak in their, you know, meaning when I say weak, I don't mean that as a criticism, but they feel that the best place for them is in the drive-in. Or in, you know, some other thing. And it's good for a church to give some options. But you can take that too far. There's been a lot of believers that have used this thing as an excuse not to be in church. You know, we need on a Sunday morning or in our Erie Church's case on a Saturday night, you know, if whatever your time of the main worship service is, you know, unless you are actually sick, of course, you know, if you feel like it's more responsible for you to be in the drive-in, totally get that. I appreciate people doing that. You know, if you think you've been around somebody with the illness, take a week, sit in the drive-in. You know what I mean? But when you've taken it to the point where it's like, you know, I'm staying out of church. You know, all of a sudden, you know, we stop serving God and start thinking that, of course, I'm preaching to the choir. You're here today, right? But if we think that church moving forward is just an online voluntary thing, we've missed it. Here's another thing. We need to make sure we're serving God instead of the virus in the way we treat people who have been either positive with it or are just going through symptoms or whatever. Folks, can I speak real? I'm going to say something that's going to get a lot of you upset right now. Here we go. Woo, here we go. Whether you like it or not, this virus is going to knock on all of our doors. Here's the fact of the matter. More than likely, it has already knocked on every single one of our doors, whether directly or indirectly. Whether you yourself have dealt with it, or whether you yourself have been in contact with somebody with it, whether, you know, this thing is on the surface at the counter at Walmart or Wegmans or wherever it's at, people are living their lives, going to restaurants, all this stuff, kids are in school, you've been in contact with it whether you know it or not. Pastor, that's anti-faith. No, it's just the fact of life. You know, the good news is that we have the word. We have the word, all right? And so why I'm bringing this up is that you better be careful how you judge people that are tested. I don't mean tested for the virus. I mean going through a trial in their life. You know what I mean? Maybe there's somebody that you've heard that has had it. And our current news world makes it sound like anyone who has ever had it will always have it. It's just like any other virus. It's there for a couple of days and it's gone. Don't you dare go pin some scarlet C on the chest of somebody that's had it before. You know, I'm seeing Christians do that. I'm seeing them gossip about people, you know, that have, whether they've had it or they felt like they were in contact or someone just gets the sniffles and all of a sudden people start getting all, you know, weirded out about them. Don't. That's wrong. That's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And what that is, see, the Bible says that we are to love one another even as Christ loved us. Now, we haven't had, you know, big issues with it here at the church. Our community, I know, has gone through, you know, a little bit of a test as of late. But overall, this thing's going to knock on everybody's door. Everyone's going, I don't say everyone's going to get sick. I'm just saying we all will come into contact with bad things all the time. You know, listen, coronavirus, even though it seems like it's the only illness in the land, it's not. It's not the only dangerous thing in the world. You understand. So be careful how you judge others that have been tested. The moment you start saying, well, if they had faith, they wouldn't have gone through that. Listen, don't you act that way here. You know, that's not just for this church or our churches. That's just for, in general, believers need to be careful. We are serving God, not this virus. I'm not going to be judged by that virus. I'm going to be judged by the living God who's going to look into my heart, see how my attitude is during this time, see how I'm treating people, seeing how I've been faithful to the house of God. Amen. So in 2021, these are some things that we're going to be doing. We're going to bring a new level of vim and vigor to our praise and worship. There better be a little excitement. There should be enthusiasm. We're not entering this building anymore with a case of the 2020s. You know, we are to, because his loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise him. Thus, while I live, I will bless him. I will lift up my hands in his name. Then it says, then shall you be filled with the marrow and fatness. Psalm 63, verse 3 through 5. We're going to get fat in 2021. Woo! Everyone's making New Year's resolutions to get skinny. We're making ones around here to get fat. Woo! The God kind of fat. Fulfilled. Blessed. Because notice where it came from. Praise and worship. David said, because your loving kindness is better than anything in my life. It's bigger than any virus. Your name is looming large. Your return is imminent. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. Stop serving the virus more than you are serving God. Your answer, we have got to put the past in the past. 2020 was just a few days ago, but it's just as much in the past as 50 years ago was. Are you getting something out of this here today? Number one, our perspective on tough times has to change. Two, we've got to serve God more than this virus. Stop being consumed with the thought of this virus. Don't be consumed by the fear of it. See, listen, don't raise your hand, don't shout it out, But I mean, honestly, if you, again, I don't have any scientific data to back this up, but if I had to guess with the body of Christ in America, have they been more concerned, more, have they dreaded getting the virus more than dreading to displease God over this last year? 100%, I believe. Not every Christian, but I believe that to be true. I believe that most Christians, not all, have been more concerned about getting a virus than being unfaithful to God. Getting a virus does not strike any danger warning in my heart. I don't think about it, but you know what I think about every day? The idea that I'm being unfaithful to God. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Lord, what can I do better? What level can I go higher? You know, where am I not pressing? And oh, he lets me know. But if you're sitting there saying, well, I'm doing everything right for God, I've never missed it, whatever. Well, we need to pray for you most of all then. Stop serving the virus. Start serving God. And if that means you got to turn off the news because you're obsessed with it, then turn off the news. I have limited my news intake so greatly since this election and since this past year. I haven't taken it down to zero, but I'll tell you what, I've cut it down by 75% or more. You know, I'm hardly reading any articles and stuff because you know what? There's so much agenda-based lies. You don't know what's true, but I know what's true. The Word of God is true. Amen. See, the word mark, to aim at the mark, it means the goal, the bullseye, or the finish line. Isn't that amazing? If you're chained to the wall in a sewer, you are maybe thinking that you're at the finish line. This is it. Paul said, I'm pressing in. I'm at the lowest time in my life. He said, but you know what I'm thinking about? The furtherance of the gospel. I'm thinking about God's goodness. I'm thinking about those souls that are walking up there in the palace that are hearing for the first time the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the way you live through a trial. That's how you face tough times. So in 2021, I'll tell you what, we should come into our worship services. If Paul could have that kind of attitude, we can walk into these services, we can lift our hands, we can shout praises, we can be so grateful. Yes, bring something to your praise and worship. Church services should be the biggest event of your week. Amen. Here's another thing that we can do. Of course, this is for us corporately, but invest in your church. And when I say the word invest, I'm not speaking about financially. Of course, you know, there's a level of faithfulness with finances. But what I'm talking about, having a desire to see that your church grows with influence, that the gospel comes out of that place with a great measure. Amen. It should be the big event of your week. You should come into this place, you know, not, you know, even if you've had a tough time or had a down week, so to speak, you should, that is where you pump yourself up, you prepare yourself, you come into those services, and you come ready. Amen. So many Christians have become more concerned about spreading a virus and less concerned about spreading the gospel. Serve God, not the virus. Of course, take common sense. Common sense stuff. You know, I'm not talking against that. I'm talking about it in your attitude, in your thought life. You know, if you are sober with yourself and you realize, oh my goodness, I've made this thing. I've thought about it all the time. I've meditated on the time. I've read about it all the time. Stop reading about that. Start reading about him. See, I'll tell you what, just in general, if you are consumed with the news of the world all the time, I'll tell you what, you will very quickly forget who you are in Christ. Did you get something out of this here today? Yes, amen. Number one, we're changing our perspective on tough times. Philippians 1, 12 through 14 and 15 there would be a great set of scriptures to meditate on with the perspective of knowing that Paul is chained in a sewer when he's saying these things. All right, praise the Lord. And also we're serving God, not the virus, not the past. Philippians 3, 13, and 14 would be a great couple of verses for you to meditate on and get that into you and realize that there's no answers for you in the past, no matter how good or bad it was, no matter who said what, who did what. It's gone. God says, your answers, your blessing, nothing's back there. Of course, there's nothing wrong with having good memories with families and looking at, you know, pictures of vacations you took. You understand. We're talking about there's so many people that they try to diagnose their problems of today by looking into their past. The world is trained to do that. I have a secular education. You know, I was a school teacher. You know, I took a master's degree program and all that stuff. And you know what? Looking, you know, on those things, you can see so much of it is about rehearsing what someone went through. That's not how God works. He says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Hope and a future. He said, I'm going to give you a better future than you ever had in the past. So stop living in the past. Start living for what God's doing right now and beyond. Praise the Lord. You get some help here today. Yes, glory to God. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Lord, your word is so good. Got to get the right perspective on facing tough times. Lord, we get that perspective, of course, by seeing you. And Lord, we're reminded of the verse in Hebrews 12, 2, where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Lord, what you went through it, you despised it, but you went through it with joy. Lord, we see where Paul was chained in a sewer dungeon. And yet he said, everything that's happened to me is just fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel. He said, everyone in this palace around me, they know that I serve God. They know that I proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Wow. Lord, starting with us, this new generation of Christians, we need to learn that. We need to understand that we're pursuing you more than money. We're pursuing you more than a virus. Thank you, Lord God. You're so good and you're so faithful. We love you. We thank you. We just say this is going to be the best year we've ever had. The gospel will be furthered in 2021. Through the preaching of your word and through our faithfulness, and regardless of what's going on in our circumstances, your gospel will be furthered. We love you. Father, I thank you. Your blessing, your hand, your protection is around this church and around our precious church family. Lord, we thank you. We just give you all the glory. With all heads bowed and every eye closed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you personally committed your heart to him? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess or speak with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's real simple. We come to God with a sincere heart, and we tell him, we say, Father, I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died and rose again. So if you're here today or you're watching by live stream or maybe you're out in the drive-in service and in your heart you know that you are unsure about your eternal destiny, I will tell you the truth. There is a hell. But here's the good news. There's a heaven. God didn't make hell for you. He made heaven for you. And the only reason anyone would ever end up in a place called hell, a place of complete separation from God, is that they failed to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior by faith. Now, today, I'm not asking you to, you know, join an institution or sign paperwork or anything like that. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to make you come down front. I'm not going to send you off to the church office to talk with church leaders afterwards, anything like that. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed, right there in your seat. But if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'm just going to say, you can put it back down. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to call your name. You just need to take a step towards God. And then I will lead this entire congregation in that prayer, and right there in your seat, you can pray and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice, within the sight of my eyes, that you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus my Lord, and today's the day that I want to do that? Is there anybody? Please lift up your hand so I can at least see it. Praise the Lord. I see that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. Is there anybody else? You say, Pastor, that's me. I know in my heart I need to get right. It's not a family church idea. It's a Bible idea. Anybody else before we pray? Of course, folks know this. It's not the lifting of the hand. It's the release of faith. So when we speak sincerely. So if you lifted your hand, or even if you didn't lift your hand, pray this prayer with me. Mean it with all your heart. God will hear you. And let's begin this year, begin your new life with God. Let's all pray this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. And folks, if we prayed that prayer for the first time, let's put some action to it. All right? And folks, just remember, there's always three parts to every church that will do anything great from God, for God. First of all, there's God's part. We know he's always willing to do his part. Then there's the minister's part. All right? And we've got a part to play. But then the third part is the supply that you bring to your local church. Let's bring a greater supply to our local church than we have ever before. Amen? No, I'm not speaking about just financially or anything. I'm talking about with our enthusiasm. I'm talking with our faith, with our faithfulness. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord some praise here today, and then we'll be dismissed. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Father, you are so good. Father, we command your hand of blessing upon each one, both in this building and out in our drive-in service. Father, we love you. We give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen and amen. You are dismissed.